Hey, Chevra. First of all, again, a big mazel tov. Neshkoyach to Yaakov Shol and the beautiful Siyam. Shmi Zoyche to be Messiah many, many more, and just bring the Simchas Shel Torah to his life, his family's life, and all of our lives.
Amen.
All the Torah tonight, all the Chizik, all the Soros tonight should be Lili Nishmas, very big tzaddik that was taken from us last week. Avram Yaakov ben Meshulam Dov, Zecha Tzaddik HaShvracha, Avi Weiss. Some of the Chevra knows Avi, maybe knows some of his children. And this chus to know Avi, I can't say super close, but I knew him. And he was in this house every Purim. I used to see him around. And his beautiful children, Liora, Zibi, Adaret, they were here this Purim. I've had this chus to learn with them and shiur them and different inyanim. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the shiur. But he was a tzaddik in our midst. And I made Hashem all the Torah tonight. Should be a big chus for his neshama. And bring a nechama to his beautiful family. He should only have simcha and bracha b'ez Hashem.
Amen.
Chazal tell us, O chavruso mesusa. Whoever knows, this past Shabbos Kodesh, I had this chus to be in Cleveland by a bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah, my closest friend in the world, is more like a brother. Shlomo Kaufman, who saw Naftali, Naftali Yosef, was a bar mitzvah. And Shlomo is not just my best friend, my brother, but he's my chavrusa. He was my chavrusa for many years in Keren B'Yavne and YU until he left me to Yale Medical School. You know, that happens. And but he's still my chavrusa. And MS is almost every time we speak, within moments, all we do is talk Torah, because it's the most important thing in the world and the most important relationship in the world. And it's chus to be with him last Shabbos Kodesh, and of course, throughout the Shabbos, we learn together. And it'll be very special tonight, really, most of the Torah tonight, a lot of the Torah tonight, is built off different Torahs that we learn together. So it's something very special to me. We'll have this chus to share this with you. You know, we have Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, and it's giving over the kelim, the begadim of the Mishkan, that were manufactured, that were built, that were sewn together. After we had Truma Tetzave, all the commandments of the kelim and the begadim, now we have Klal Yisrael following Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. And this very interesting lashon that the Ramban picks up on, that we see a couple times. Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk of Aleph and Vayakel, Vayavo kol ish asher nisol libo, v'chol asher nidavarucho. Every person asher nisol libo. Nisol, we know, means to be lifted up, to be carried. His heart's carried, his heart's lifted up. To give towards the Mishkan, to come work in the Mishkan. We find this again in Perek Lamed Vav. Again in Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Beis. Vayikra Moshe al Betzal vel Eliyah vel Kol Ish Chacham Lev Asher Nasan Hashem Chochma Belibo Kol Asher Nisol Libo Lekar vel Amalach Lasos Nisol. Anyone who was Nisol Libo, who lifted up his heart, would come to be involved in the Malacha. What is this Lashon of Nisol Libo? We have Nidbas Libo, the donation of one's heart. That we're familiar with already. What is this Lashon of Nisol Libo, of a lifting up of one's heart? It's the Ramban right here. Says something incredible. Mamash, just to learn this Ramban tonight together is life-changing. The Ramban says, and I'll read you from his words, after asking the question, this is on Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Perek Lamed Hey, if you want to look inside. Ki lo haya behem shalomon es amalachos ha'elam im alamed. None of these Jews ever learned how to do these malachas. They never went to craftsmanship school. They weren't an apprentice under some individuals building a shulchan and a chesnish, a mizbeach, and an aron. Omishi Uman ben Yadav Klal. There wasn't anyone who was really a natural expert. So how'd they have it? How'd they know how to do these activities, how to manufacture these begadim, these kalim for the Mishkan? Of a mato betivo shiyadalasas kane. Somehow they found it in their nature. They just, like, naturally, suddenly were able to do it. That basically their heart was lifted up and said, I'm going to do it. And naturally they just, like, miraculously were able to know what to do. Rav Avram Shor Shlita explains it to Ramban and concretizes it for us a little bit. That what that means is as follows. What does that mean? What was that Nesol Liba that led to the ability to have these talents which weren't naturally necessarily there, and they didn't learn it from anyone? How he explains in his Lashon was this, and what the Ramban is really selling us and teaching us, was their Ratzon, their deep desire to do what Hashem wants, their deep desire to be there for Hashem. The soul, Libo, their heart was on fire and passionate. They had a Ratzon, and if there's a will, there's a way. And somehow, through that Ratzon, they were able to build an Aron, to build a Mizbeach, to build a Shulchan, these intricate, incredible, gorgeous Kalim. Those of us who've ever been in the old city, in the museum that has all the Kalim, Machon HaMikdash, and that's just a museum. Beautiful, incredible. You'd think that has to take the greatest of artists who've been studying and who's been practicing for years and years and years. These guys were chvestish. I don't know what were they were building bricks, maybe. That's about it. Picking up some mun. And they're building these incredible and sewing together, making a chesh and an ephod. I mean, where'd that come from? The soul libo was a ratzon. Through our ratzon, through a desire, we can accomplish anything. And find things that we have within us that we didn't even know were there. That were dormant within us the whole time. Some pshat in the Gemara Megillah, famous words of the Gemara Megillah, we've given over this Torah before, but when I read this from the Ramban and from Rav Shor, immediately thought about the words, Yagati Matasi Tamin, the Gemara, in Megillah, Dav Vavam Abez. It says, Yagati Matasi Tamin. Yagati, you put an effort. Where'd that effort come from? Through your Ratzon. Umatasi, you find success in Torah. Tamin, you're believed. That's the only way to find success in Torah, in mitzvahs, in ruchnias, is through effort. But that effort comes from Ratzon, I believe. From a desire. But we know what's the Lashon, and all the Mefarshim, everybody asks, I think I heard this in the name of Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zeich Tzadikos Vrach, originally. Matzasi is a Metziah, something you find. You don't put an effort to find something. You put an effort to, Hitzlachti, I accomplished, Tervachti. Why is the Lashon Metziah, like something you just walk in the street and you find something, Shkoyach, very nice. Just hit it again, it's on a timer. So there's a recognition in the end of the day that if we put in that effort and we put in the ratzon, we're going to find things that it's not even, it's going to be exponential growth, things that naturally weren't even there. Incredible success, incredible accomplishments. Where from? Yagati, which comes from a ratzon, the soul libo. We have to believe in ourselves. We could believe that we could accomplish great things. You know, sometimes we look at others and we look at people that are mavish, like holding in Torah in ways I could only dream of. And people, we watch people, Rabbanim, even friends sometimes, that we see like tefillah after tefillah with ala kavana. And I could only dream of that, and I want that. People we know of that are involved nonstop with chassadim, like we once in a while when someone asks us, yeah, I'll be a nice guy, but in deep, like I want that. But do you really want it? Because if you really want it, you'd accomplish it. V'nasa libo, these yidden were able to build aron and build mizbeach and shulchan that they didn't even know how to do. Through that ratzon, through a passion. You know, Chevra, I had this chus we said to be in Cleveland, so I want to share a story. You know, Chevra knows that I've been writing Svarim for my children's Simchas. Bereshis, we published for Shmuel's Bar Mitzvah. Then I finished Shemos already for Neshama's Bas Mitzvah and finished Vayikra for Elioro's Bas Mitzvah. I'm almost finished by Minbar for Nesser's Bas Mitzvah, this upcoming Tammuz. So I'm already at towards the end, I finished Pinchas already, it's Matos Masai left. Mirtz Hashem. And the plan, man, I'm not gonna... Uriel's turning 7 in a few weeks. I'm gonna Mirtz Hashem. We'll finish something else for him. We're gonna finish Chumash Chzorun. Bez Hashem for a chasana. Bez Hashem. Shatov in the right time. Whatever it might be. No, it wasn't like an official announcement. I'm just saying, I hope that's a simcha that comes much sooner than the Bar Mitzvah. But Hamevin Yavin. If anyone says Shmuel, you could share that. But anyways, Lamaisa. So, but one of the things I thought was that I wanted to do, and I've been doing, is, you know, on each parsha of a mamer, and they're really built off these shirim. They're built off the Thursday night shirim throughout the years. And you open up the svarim, some of you have been it, I'm sure. But each one ends in a personal story. So I started getting nervous. Because, you know, Lamaisa, when I had the excitement to start this project, so Bereshis Shkoyach, so you have one sefer, and I had when I started Bereshis, so that was already 6 years ago, so I had 35 years of stories worth, you know, you get, so Shkoyach, anyone could have one sefer worth of svarim, of stories, so you use all your best ones, you down, then Shmosh, so Baruch Hashem, you open up your eyes and stories are constantly happening, but I realized over the years, most of those stories have been happening in Eretz Yisrael. A large portion of them. Because there's certain Siyat HaShemayim in Eretz Yisrael, and your eyes are open a little wider to see the Rabbanu Shalom in Eretz Yisrael. That's Emes. If you go through the stories, so many of them are Eretz Yisraelic. And then I got a little nervous, because I'm in the middle of Bamidbar, and I don't want to mention it, because we're going to start crying, but we haven't been in Eretz Yisrael in over a year. So besides from missing Eretz Yisrael, where are the stories going to come from? We've got to finish the Svarim, right? Call to the government. We'd have a problem. Trying. Is that an essential reason or something? That's like, I don't know. I need to be able to. Maybe something. I don't know. So the emphasis is I realize it's not just Eretz Yisrael, you know. And you could ask rabbis about this. Somehow also, stories just happen on plane rides and airports. It's like when you're up in there, it's like Bechinas, maybe Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. You know, that's where I want to always be flying. So I'm on a plane. Maybe it's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. Lamaisa, I want to tell you this story, Chevra. I want to tell you the story that created a ratzon in me that I haven't stopped thinking about. So last Erev Shabbos Kodesh, I get to the airport. You know, the airports are crazy these days. Some of the Chevra has flown because of COVID, so you got to wear the mask there. And then you get onto the plane, and it's just a feeling of uncertainty. You know, you don't know who's makbid on the COVID, who's not makbid on the COVID. And like, if you're allowed to get closer to anyone, you're not allowed to close to someone. If you could take off the mask to like eat something, not because then people are going to get nervous. And you see all those films with the anti-Semitism, and you're going to be the one thrown off the plane even if you didn't take off the mask. It's like a lot of daigas. But then at the same time that, you know, the last time I flew, whenever it was, they were still having like, a seat in the middle. Now, I don't know, they're all nervous about COVID, but they pack you in like sardines. Now one seat is open. You're in the rows on top of each other. So I don't know what's going on, Lamaisa. It's like only when you go to shul you have to have social distancing. I don't know what's going on. But anyways, Lamaisa, I'm Avin Yavin. But I'm on this flight. So this flight, it was a small plane and it was a row. It was, you know, on one side was two and on one side was one. That was the whole thing. It was a Delta flight. That was a two and one. So I'm in the two. I'm going to be sitting next to somebody. So that itself is always like an awkward thing. Because you sign up to like sit next to some random stranger for an hour and a half. And like Eretz Yisrael, it's like for 10 hours, you know? So Eretz Yisrael, at least 99% of the time, you sit next to a Yid. And here you don't know who it's going to be, what it's going to be. What? Yeah, these days. So then, also, in these planes, your mamish, like, you sit down to be thrown on top of each other. You know, it's not even like, there's no room, you can't, Mamish, you know, you have, they also, you have to share the elbow rest. You know, they put one elbow rest between two people. You don't know each other. Like, and you're supposed to share that. You don't know them, you, where, what. You get there first.
I get the front of the elbow.
Anyways, so I get there. I get to my seat. And I sit down. And I see there's this, you know, there's a woman. And she's probably, I don't know, I'd say in her young 30s. Does not look Jewish at all. Okay, it's good. It's fine. And Lemaisa, but then there's that other awkward moment. You know, do you even, like, say hello and talk to them at all? Or do you, like, totally ignore as if we're, like, two separate worlds? But you're, like, again, you're going to sit literally on top of each other for the next hour and a half, but you don't say a word to each other, do you? So, obviously, if it's a Yid, so you're family, and you obviously you have to play Jewish geography for a few minutes, so that for sure. But if it's not, so my general take on this is it's up to you. You know, I'll be reactive. That's my take. If you're gonna, if you want to talk to me, and I'm gonna be nice, I'm gonna be friendly, I'm gonna talk to you. But if you're not, that's up to you. You want to take your time. Listen, I'd rather be sitting and learning to myself also. So it's, you do what you want. So I sit down, and she doesn't say a word. It's fine. But also these days, also it's more than that because you wear masks, so it's like easier to not talk, right? You don't even have to feel the pressure of talking because you're wearing masks. Anyways, well, nice, I sit down, and no talking, fine. I take out my svarim, I'm learning, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, I love, my favorite thing in the world is plane rides. It's a mamish peace and quiet, shalom, no phone, svarim, zo. Here's a little short, I like better the flight there, it's really more time, but okay, I'll take it. So I'm sitting here fine. Maybe 15 minutes in, this young woman, she pulls out a sandwich, a very extremely non-kosher looking sandwich, a chvesnet, I don't know, ham and melted cheese or something, lemaisa, you know, alamailas. But okay, you know, like she seemed not Jewish, it's fine. It's all good, I could handle it. And, okay, but then, about 10 minutes later, it's like about halfway through the flight, I see she pulls out like a pretty big notebook. And she starts writing Hebrew. She starts writing Hebrew. Hebrew and English. So I'm thinking, oh my God, what's going on here? And she didn't look Jewish, you know? And it, wait, just listen. She's now I'm sitting there with my svarim. So I'm sitting there with my svarim, and she's writing. So then I'm like literally holding back. I'm about to say something, what's going on? But then already, I don't want to seem like some, like, you know, guy looking, you know. I'm Avin Yavin, you know what the word is. Like, I don't want to seem like that guy who's looking over my shoulder. But again, you can't not see. You're on top, but you know, it's basically all my thing. It's not like I was trying to look. It's like you can't even, if I wanted to, I couldn't ignore this, you know. But okay. I might say, don't say a word. I decided, you know what, she's probably taking some course somewhere. Maybe she's studying Hebrew, Jewish, Arab. I don't know what. I say, I'm not going to say a word. I just decide if she wants, again, she sees I'm reading Hebrew all the time also. So if she wants, she could say, if not, I leave it. I don't say a word, the flight ends. I don't say one word to this woman. I get off the flight, I go to the bar mitzvah, I go to the Shabbos Kodesh. It was beautiful Shabbos. I could tell a lot about how beautiful the Shabbos was, how beautiful it was to be with my Chaver Tov and their my family. Okay, Sunday, I spent time in the morning. I was running late because I have mishpacha in Cleveland. My mother's from Cleveland. So I went to visit an uncle, went to visit my cousin, spent time. And then my friends were going to drive me back to the airport. But of course, you know, my life with Zmanim, so I'm running very late. He tells me to be at his house, like maybe 11:30. I get there about 12:30. It's a 2:07 flight. And it's a half hour, at least a half hour away. So, but then I have to say goodbye to everyone. We get to the airport. I think it was about 1:23 for a 2:07 flight. Okay, I think it's fine. I didn't think any much of it, to be honest. That's my life. I'm flying alone. I'm not checking in bags. I walk inside. The security, I guess, you know, they're a little more because COVID, whatever. The security, hundreds of people out. I don't know what was going on. Everyone's leaving Cleveland. I don't know. Lemaisa, I'm like, there's zero chance I make this flight. Now, also, there's one flight a day to New York. If I don't make this flight, I'm in Cleveland on a whole nother day. It's not happening. So I go over. Also, Baruch Hashem, it's Cleveland. It's not like New York. People are nice there. So I go over to someone in the airport, and I explain my predicament. I say, I'm going to miss the flight. She says, no problem. problem. Come with me. She takes me with the flight crew. We go straight through, skip the 200 people through the security. I hustle a little bit. I get to the gate, and they're halfway boarding, and I go right onto the flight. Baruch Hashem. So this was all happening. So I get onto my flight, and I'm like just excited to sit down and relax finally because I was like moving nonstop. And I sit down, and I look to my left, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I'm sitting next to the same exact woman. I'm sitting next to... Now, wait. So for a second, I took a double take. It can't be. I didn't know she was wearing a mask. I don't know. Maybe it's not her. It just looks a little... I see, but she's holding... going there, she was holding this... She was holding her coat. I don't know why. I put the coat on top, but she was holding her coat. And I'm like, no, it's the same coat. Because it was there the whole time. So I... And this, I say, enough is enough. I immediately turn to her. I say, were we sitting next to each other on the flight here on Friday? And she looks at me. She's like, yeah. We were. I don't know what's going on, but we were. And I'll tell you the truth. The whole time I wanted to talk to you, because I saw that you're reading Hebrew the whole time. And I don't know if you noticed, but I had my notebook. I was writing Hebrew, you know. So I wanted to talk to you, but I just felt uncomfortable. I didn't. So I ask her. I say, Nusa, what's going on? What's the story? What's the story? Give it up. So she looks at me. She says, listen, Chav, you got to hear this. She says, actually, I'm not Jewish. She was from a Christian family. But I'm studying to be a Gyaris. I'm studying to be a Gyaris, this woman next to me. And she tells me, so she said, just listen, hear me out, because you got to hear the whole story. So I say, really? What brought you? But hear this out. She says, well, I'm actually engaged. My fiance, my chosen, is an Israeli from Tel Aviv. But she stopped, immediately goes into, she knew where I might go, I guess. I don't know. She immediately says to me, but I want you to know, my whole life, I knew that my religion was fake and false. I had so many questions that made no sense. And my whole life, as a little kid already, I knew that Judaism was correct. And I always loved, I had a love for Israel. And she said, I did my thesis on Zionism, and I've gone to Israel, and I always, this just basically, this gave me my final push to do what I always wanted, to do what I always wanted to do. And then I'm thinking, okay, but she's probably, you know, converting with reform, or in my head I'm just thinking it's confirmed, conservative reform, something that's complete sheker, shebe sheker, and we don't accept and meaningless, because, you know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, interesting thing. You all know this, MS, but like, especially when you have these situations of a engaged or dating couple, you have a very big message, because generally the Jew is not a religious Jew, otherwise why would they be together with a non-Jew? And there's no such thing as non-religious Geirus. Like, Geirus means I'm being makabel Torah mitzvahs. You can only do that be MS in an orthodox way. So, like, It's not pashut unless the other person's ready to become Orthodox also, which is like incredible and beautiful if done emes, but sometimes if done for the right reasons. Again, I'm not going to get into all the complications of this, which often there are. But she seemed to have come from a good place and a correct place. And she starts telling me about her chassan, who grew up and is a secular Jew from Tel Aviv, and he has some startup company with an office in Israel, an office here, of course, you know, regular Israeli. And Lemaisa, I met him later, he's a really sweet guy, but we'll get to that part. Lemaisa, she tells me, no, she wants to do it right. She's going through an Orthodox conversion. She's going through an Orthodox conversion. And she told me the rabbi, knew who the rabbi was. I'm like, she's going through an Orthodox conversion. And she said, first of all, she said also, and she, this changed over the last few weeks, or it won't in the courts, but hopefully it won't happen. They're fighting it, you know, in Eretz Yisrael. She says she wants to live in Eretz Yisrael. She said in Eretz Yisrael they only accept Orthodox conversion. There's not even anything to talk about it. But she says her chassan wants to become religious, wants it, and they're doing Shabbos already and everything. And she's learning. And if you heard the ratzon of this young woman, if you heard the passion of this young woman the rest of the flight, and she's talking to me and asking me, and she's asking me about tefillah, and asking me how she could daven properly, because she wants to daven, but she doesn't understand what the words mean. So it's Hebrew reading exercises, but she wants it to come from the heart. So she's asking me about these inyanim, and she's asking me about Shabbos, and she's asking me, of course, you know, it wasn't a no-brainer, I'm going to live in Eretz Yisrael. Like, how do you not live in Eretz Yisrael as a Jew? It's so beautiful. MS, like, how many of us don't even think about that? And she has MS, because she has a ratzon. She has the passion of this young woman. The passion to learn. She turns to me one day, she's like, does your wife wear a sheitel? I says, yeah, she actually, but whatever. Anyways, Lamaisa. It happened to be right as I was getting on the flight, she sent me a picture. She was going shopping for a new sheitel. Just I showed her about a sheitel, you know. Anyways, Lamaisa, I said, yeah. But then she was asking me about it, and she was asking me what Jewish name she should pick, what has meaning and purpose. But then she's like, can I still go by my English name to some degree? My name is Bridget. Can I still go by the English name? No. So, okay, relax, Rebbe, relax. But she was so passionate and so real and so authentic and so full of ratzon for Yiddishkeit, for Torah, for Hashem, for Shabbos. A ratzon that sadly I don't find in enough Orthodox Yidden. When you have a yid, he's not a yid yet, she, Beis Hashem, will be. She's going to be married in August in New York. We're all going to go. Meretz Hashem, to be Mesameh Chas Nakala. Emes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. I'm in touch with, I'll tell you. Wait, so listen. So, Mamish, but to hear this Ratzon, to hear Nesol Libo, that she had, and she's doing it, by Emes. And that's the ratzon we need to have in our lives. The ratzon for Torah, the ratzon for mitzvot, the ratzon for Shabbos, the ratzon for brachos, the ratzon for tefillah. And she asked me those questions. She asked me for my number, if she could be in touch with me, if she has more questions. Because again, it was such an incredible thing to see the Eibishter do this. The Eibishter basically told me, you idiot, you were supposed to talk to her the first flight, so I'll give you a second flight. You're supposed to be mashpia on her. She's never even met the rabbi she's working with, because it's all on Zoom because of Chais Nisht. COVID, right? So this is, she turned, she asked me in the middle of the conversation, like, you're a rabbi? I'm whatever, they call me that. But Lamaisa, the Rebbe Shalom put me there, that she should be able to ask me, and hopefully I was a shliach of Hashem and brought her chizik and esoros and answered in ways that she was makabel, the Kabbalist. But it was mamish, there was no question, that shkach in this, if I was put the second time, and that I should see the Hebrew, it's all Ashkacha. But all Ashkacha, maybe, I hope that I helped her, but I know more so she helped me. To see such a Ratzon. And this is the Ratzon that each and every one of us needs, the Ratzon of Saul Libo. This was the Ratzon of Avi Weiss, Echazad Kashroch. Avi Weiss, we said we're giving shir tonight. Avi Weiss was a Yid, he lived in West Hampstead. Avi Weiss grew up in the modern Orthodox world. Went to MTA, went to BMP. But from his family, told me this, and from some of his friends, Rabbi Eli Storch was his best friends in the world. Until he was 40, he hardly learned Torah. He was from, but he hardly learned. And at 40, he heard Rabbi Storch send him a shir from Rav Weinberger that was given DRS, and it mamish, he was on fire from that. And from that point, for the last, whatever amount, 7-8 years, I don't know exactly how old he was, something like that, he didn't stop growing and learning. But he had a ratzon that was on fire. He was holding in all of Tanya, and those of us who've learned Tanya, and we all should learn Tanya, it's of the most difficult svarim to learn. He's holding in the whole sefer like mamish on his fingertips. And he would, if he had a kash in it, one of his daughters would tell me he found one rabbi that was holding in Tanya in Crown Heights that he drove to be able to ask one question to. And this rabbi looked at him, Rav Paltiel, and said, Rav Paltiel said to him, I don't know how many people in old Crown Heights are holding in Tanya the way you are. Because he had a ratzon holding a Rav Nachman. And you'd see him, you knew who he was. He was by all the Eish Kodesh things. If you saw him by face value, you knew him. He was by everything. He wouldn't miss. He wouldn't miss fire. Because he had such a ratzon. And he gave that over. His beautiful children have it from him. This ratzon. And from that ratzon, it was godless. He, like, mamish, grew exponentially in ways you can't even imagine. And that's the ratzon of Bridget. Which is the ratzon of Avi, which is the ratzon we all need, which is the ratzon of these Yidden and Nasal Libo to build a Mishkan. And most importantly, Nemesis, you saw it, by the way, you see it also in this week's parasha. You see it by the Nesiim, an incredible idea. The Nesiim, we know, the Nesiim, the Pasuk says, brought the Avnei Shoyim and Avnei Miluyim. It says, the Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chav Zayim, V'Nesiim Heviyu Es Avnei Shoyim V'Asmei Miluyim. And the Targum Yonatan Ben Aziel, instead of the word Nesiim, says, V'Anane Shmaya. You know what brought the Avnei Shoyim V'Avnei Miluyim? It's a Gemara and Yuma. The clouds. The Avnei Shoyim V'Avnei Miluyim, the gemstone, they came through the Anonim, the Anani HaKavod. So if the Targum Yonatan Ben Aziel says they came through the clouds, why does the Pasuk say the Nesiim brought them? So Shor explains. Because Nesiim, we know, they messed up a little bit. And that's why they lost the Yud from the name, because they said, we'll bring whatever's left at the end, and nothing was left. So then they had this incredible Ratzon to bring. And because of their incredible Ratzon, Hashem gave the through the Anan Erkovo, the Avdishom Avdim Eluyim. So it's as if they brought it, even though it was from the Anonim. So it says the Nesiim brought it because it was their Ratzon that brought it into the world. What we could bring into this world through our Ratzon, and specifically in Torah. Listen to this incredible diak from Rav Shor in the Rambam. Famous Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph. B'shloisha Ksar, listen to this diak, incredible. You can't make this one up, you ready? Shloisha Ksarim Nichteru Yisrael, there are three crowns that we can all have, three crowns. Keser Torah, the Keser Kuna, the Keser Malchus. The crown of Torah, the crown of Kuna, the crown of Malchus. And the Rambam says, Keser Kuna, Zocha bo Aaron, Vaisa Lol, Zaro, Achrov. The crown of Kuna is for Aaron and his children. The crown of Kuna is for Aaron and his children. Are the schus to be a Kayin? Zocha, that Keser. Those in this room that are Yisraelim, you could do anything in the world, one or more. You're never going to be have the Keser Kuna. Sorry. But Emes,
Jacob said though.
What about Yaakov?
He said we asked him so.
No. Keser Malchus, Zocha bo David. That's for David and the lineage of David. However, Keser Torah, listen to the Lashon of the Rambam, ready? Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, Hare Munach v'Oimad u'muchan l'chol Yisrael. The crown of Torah is sitting ready and prepared for all of Yisrael. Kol mi sheyirtze, whoever wants it, yavo v'yitol. The only condition to a keser shel Torah, to godless in Torah, to godless in Yir Shemayim, to godless in Ruchnias, to a real religion, that means kol mi sheyirtze, you have to want it. And what does the Rambam say? A few halachas later, you can't make this up. Because what did the Ramban say is the Lashon of Raton in our parasha, this strange Lashon, Nisol Libo. Perek Gimel, Nechatam Torah, halacha Vav, a few halachas later. Mi Shinosol Libo, Lekayim Mitzvazu Karoi, Ulios Muchter, Bekeser Torah. The Rambam uses the same Lashon. Can't make that up. The Rambam, we know, is a perfectionist in his Lashon. Every word, every letter was a diamond. Why does he use such a strange Lashon here? He's obviously tapping into Nesol Libo. You want to be great in Torah and Ruchnias, all you have to do is want it. You have to have a Ratzon. You have to have a real Ratzon. You know, we know the famous Pesukim in Parashas Nitzavim. Ki ha-mitzvah is perek lamed pasuk yud aleph. Ki ha-mitzvah zos. Ki ha-mitzvah zos. This mitzvah. Ki ha-mitzvah zos. Which many we know, the Mefarshim talk about, but many say he's talking about Torah. This mitzvah. Lo bashamayim. It's not up in heaven. We could all have this mitzvah. We could all have Torah. How so? What's the next word? Lemor. The Kalver Rebbe, Shlita. The Kalver Rebbe from Williamsburg. Says, Lemor is Rashi Tevot, Ritzonenu Liros Es Malkeinu. Ritzonenu Liros Es Malkeinu is Lemor. You know how you could all have this Torah? You know when it's Lo Bashamayim? When Ritzonenu, when we want to see the King, when we want it. All we need is the Ratzon. And if through that Ratzon we have a Tzinur, Ratzon and Tzina are the same osios. A pipeline to Ka'ala Kedusha. We just have to want it. And we have this wanting inside us. We all know the famous Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin. We know the famous Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin. Koifin achi yomer roitzani. That you could beat the crud out of a guy who doesn't want to give a get when he's supposed to, until he says, I want to. And the Rambam asks, who cares he wants to? He doesn't really mean it that he wants to. He means, I want you to stop beating me up. I want to be able to live to see another day. I want to not have all my legs broken. So the Rambam there says, deep down inside, he wants it. He wants to do MS. He wants to do what the Chum want from him. Deep down inside, we all want it. Deep down inside, we all want Torah. We all want Tefillah. We all want Yer Shemayim. We all want Shmir Sinayim. We all want to do MS. So bring it to the surface. Bring it to the surface like Bridget. Bring it to the surface like Avi Weiss. Bring this Ratzon to the surface and we'll find accomplishments you got the Matzasi we didn't even know existed. How so? First of all, just recognizing that if you want it will be the key to your success, we'll build the Ratzon. Because sometimes one of the reasons I don't want it enough is because I don't think it's possible. Stop and think, MS, right? We don't really want something which we think is impossible. So I don't really want to play in the NBA. Even if I played ball in high school and I was ichvesnisht, you know, scored a few points. But it's not real. You don't play in the NBA. Okay, now you have Amari Stoudemire. But that's the flip way. That didn't work the other way, right? That worked, you know. I don't know. The other way would not have happened. That's why he did it this way, obviously. You know, beautiful. I actually watched with my shir, the Meaningful Minutes. You know, Nachi Gordon, he did a podcast with Amari Stoudemire. So I watched it with my shir. It was a lot of chizik. It was really incredible. A lot of the chizik that I just gave you from Bridget, because it's the same yesod in a certain sense of people. Again, here's another ger. From a ger, you learn this ratzon. But so many different points I could point out. But one was incredible. You know, they asked him. Nachi asked him. You know, I forget the exact lashon, but what's the future hold for Amari Stoudemire? I mean, what are your future dreams and aspirations? Here's a six-time NBA All-Star who was chvesnish on top of the world in basketball, presently now the assistant coach of the best team in the NBA. What are your future aspirations? So you think of like big things that he wants to accomplish, he would answer. You know, somebody who's accomplished a lot is good. Perhaps a future Hall of Famer. You know, his answer was so posh. I just want to learn more and I want to grow more. I just want to learn more Torah. I want to learn more. I want to grow more. And it was so beautiful. It wasn't about, because life is not about, like, I need to accomplish that and accomplish that. I need to just be more today than I was yesterday. And I want to just grow and be close to Hashem and be the best me. And you know, then the accomplishments will happen. Through the Ratzon, the accomplishments will happen. We have to believe that. We have to have this Ratzon. So first of all, if we know that it's possible, if I have the Ratzon, I'll have accomplishments that I didn't even know existed, that will build the Ratzon, because we don't desire something we don't think we could have. If we don't think we could become a Talmud Chacham, if we don't think we could daven with Kavan, if I don't think I could, so I'm not going to have the Ratzon for it. But if we understand, no, that's Matzasi, it's from Hashem, through that Ratzon is how I'll get it. That itself builds the Ratzon. That itself builds the Ratzon. And that's the Ratzon we all need. And that Ratzon will lead us to greatness, each and every one of us. I'll just end by reading a story. If I'm not mistaken, the last time I read this story was Leil Yom Kippur at the Kaisel. I don't know what year. Maybe some of you were there. Could have been 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Maybe some of you will remember this. I mean, there's a couple of you that have been. We've been together at the Kaisel Leil Yom Kippur. I hope every single Yom Kippur for the rest of my life will be in that makom. I hope not just at the Kaisel. I hope I'll be a little farther in, Amir Tashem. Because I happen to be a Kain. Let me just finish with this story. I'm going to read it. I'm going to tell you a little story. It's about a man who wanted to know the secret of success and decided to find out from a guru. Now, this was a wise old sage who knew every secret of life. He lived in splendid isolation on a mountaintop. Our hero set out on his difficulty journey to meet this wise man. He was determined to reach the top. And so he got over many obstacles on his way, fighting through thick forests, scaling huge boulders, escaping from wild beasts. At last, he clambered to the peak and lay on the ground, gasping for breath. A few minutes later, he sat up. And behold, the guru seated in a deep meditation. Silently, he waited. Almost an hour later, the guru opened his eyes and glanced at the man. He raised an inquiring eyebrow. The man stammered, "O wise and all-knowing seer, I come to you in search of the secret of success." The guru didn't reply. He simply stood up and started walking down the hill. The man followed. He found it difficult to keep pace with the old man, who seemed to skip from one rock to other like a mountain goat. They walked steadily for another hour, and he wondered if they were going back to the foothills. Suddenly, they came upon a clearing. In the middle was a clear lake. The waters were still, glinting softly in the rays of the setting sun. The guru walked up to the edge of the lake and beckoned the man closer. With a gesture, he asked him to kneel down. Unquestioningly, the man did as the guru ordered. Suddenly, he felt himself seized by a strong hand at the back of his neck. His head was forced down under the water and held there firmly. "This is some kind of test," said the man to himself as he sat still. A minute passed, and he was growing breathless. The grip on his neck had weakened. Another minute crawled by, and now he was getting anxious. His heart beat heavily in his chest, his throat tightened, his lungs screamed for air. He struggled to arise, and the old man's grip became even stronger, pressed him further down into the water. Now the man was in a panic. He thrashed around wildly, trying with all his energy to loosen the vise around his neck. Precious seconds passed, and he felt his strength slowly ebbing away. He thought he was going to die. Just as he was about to give up hope, ruining his folly in ever coming here, the hand on his collar let go. Violently leaping onto the shore, the man drew in his breath in heaving gasps. Delicious oxygen flooded his lungs. His vision grew clearer. The hammering in his throat slowed down. His hands stopped trembling, and he felt a deep anger welling up from within himself. Standing up, he faced the guru and screamed, "Are you crazy? You could have killed me." The guru simply stared at him for a long moment. Then he spoke for the first time. "You wanted to know the secret of success. Here it is. Do you remember just a few minutes ago how badly you wanted to take the next breath of air? When you want success that badly, you will have it. That's the secret of success." Without saying another word, he turned around and walked back to his hilltop abode. Ratzon. That's all we need. If there's a will, there's a way. So Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoicha to take the chizik of Nesal Libo, the chizik of Bridget, the chizik of Avi, the chizik of this guru, and through that ratzon, find greatness. Yigati Mzazi Taman. Until we're zoicha to all be together. And that's man when we feel all the accomplishedness with the Heliga, not just learning about in these parashios, the Mishkan and the Kelim Begadim, but being able to live them with the Gula Shleimos, Yechakeinu B'mehera B'yameinu.